Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. It's a delight to bring you new nuggets of truth, or more nuggets of truth, and perhaps a blessing tied in amongst the blessings that God gives us. I've been talking for some considerable time now about the good news. And the good news is that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is alive and well. And Jesus will never fail you. He will never doubt you. He will never turn away from you. He will always welcome you, even when you come to the place where you know that you're wrong, and yet Jesus will not reject you. And I think that is a remarkable thing. He is the same yesterday, today, forever, and he loves us with an everlasting love. Now, the Lord Jesus said that we were always to pray and not faint. And I must confess that in our lives, there's a lot of fainting to be done. And we seem to be able to get ourselves into a terrifying mess. We get ourselves to the point where we get away from God. And it's so difficult for me to understand why we do it. We know better, but we move away. It's a little thing. We think a little thought. It's a little thing. We have a little sort of expression that takes us away from the Lord Jesus. Little things. And what at one time was not sin, because we've got older and we're living with the Lord Jesus and abiding in him, and he is abiding in us, we suddenly become aware that the Holy Spirit is nudging us and saying to us, in effect, that this ought to go and that ought to be forgotten and this needs to be repented of. And yet I thought I had done all my repenting, but there is still something else that's lingered on. It's a dreadful thing to know and to admit that some of that lingering on sin is so hidden, so camouflaged in the psyche of our lives that we don't recognize it as sin until we're older. So we need to be repenting and believing the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be in that position where we are lifting up our hearts and hands towards him, loving him, and turning ourselves over to him. Day by day, he helps us. The disciples were somewhat confused, and so they went to Jesus and they said, "We've seen and listened to you pray, and the results of your praying, people are blessed and healed and so on. Lord, would you teach us to pray?" And without even a break in the discussion that Jesus was having with his disciples, he said, "Of course, when you pray, pray, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, that we trespass against thee.'" Now, here we have so much of the things of God going on, and Jesus is saying, "I'll teach you how to pray." Now, that has become, "Let's say the Lord's Prayer together." It is not the Lord's Prayer. He said, "When you pray, pray in this way, in this manner." He said, "Don't forget to recognize to whom you're praying: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And don't forget that the name that's above all names is God Almighty, King of kings, Lord of lords. He is the Almighty, the creator of the ends of the earth. Don't be forgetting to whom you pray. Now, one of the things that you and I are guilty of is an over-familiarity with what we think is God. And I'm saying to you today that it would be very wise for us to recount and regather our thinking and recognize that Jesus was pointing his disciples to God the Father, from whom all blessings come and all joy is obtained. It is God the Father that Jesus said he was a testimony for and to. And it was God the Father that he was introducing us to. Come unto me, and I will give you rest, said Jesus. Why did I need rest? When I was a young man, I needed no rest. I had tons of energy, and I could go forever, it seemed, on practically nothing. And my engines and whatever it is in our psyche that keeps us going were just going full bore. Wonderful things happened when I recognized that when I was praying, I had to come to the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light, the one who said, let us make animals, and there were animals, the one who said, look at this creation, and was pleased with what he had created. And then he said, let's make man in our own image. And so Adam was created. Just from the dust, just from the mud, the clay that God put together. And then God breathed into him a living soul. And Adam had the first living soul that mankind has ever experienced. And it's very interesting to discover that because of the disobedience of the man, all the generations of mankind have gone away from God and pointed away from God as best they can and are anti-God. So now we come to a place where Jesus is saying, you have to forgive people their trespasses. Now, let's look at this and not spend too much time, but enough to whet our appetites to study the Lord's Prayer more in depth at a different time. Let me say to you this, that when Jesus said, amongst your praying, pray, forgive us our debts, or I prefer the original word translated in the Old English Bible, forgive us our trespasses, for we trespass against thee. We always are trespassing. It's as if we go into the edge of the principality of heaven and put our feet there without repentance and without the determination to know that sins are forgiven, and then we start walking around in that heavenly place. And God says, you're not fit, you're not right. I have a way. Now listen to Jesus. He says, I am that way. I am that truth. I am that life. So without the Lord Jesus, the heaven we tread, or the heaven we think we tread, is more of a trespassing. We are indulging in something other than what God is giving. God will give us all things pertaining to life eternal. God will give us all things to keep us in his eternal love. God never alters, never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. And what a privilege and joy it is to come before God and lay open our hearts and to say, Lord Jesus, this is me with all the warts and all the wretchednesses and all the collection of the lies and so on that I have collected over this life that you've been pleased to give me. Lord, here am I. And I am saying, I repent of my sin. I repent of my trespass. I remove my foot from that place that I would call heaven. And I lay myself before you, for you said, repent, believe the gospel. I'm repenting. I'm believing. I love the gospel. Then the book opens wide, and we see heaven. At first, we see it very dimly in the future. Then some years go by, and old age catches up with us, and the one thing we see more prevalently than anything else is the future with Jesus in the heavenlies. No more trespassing. I, said Jesus, am the way. I, said Jesus, I am the truth. I, said Jesus, am the life. So, the life that is lived is precious. And the life that is ours is mighty. Learn to live that life. In the midst of learning, you will discover the need for praying. In the midst of praying, you will discover the need to be revealing to God who you are, who you understand you are, who you claim you are, who you want to be. And so you talk with him and you tell him of your ambitions. You tell him of your future as you see it, and you let him mold the future. And you cause him to place into your hands the greatness of his grace and the mercy and the power of God. Will you dare to do such a thing? Now, this is a prelude to prayer. And when you start to pray, you open the door to speaking, the Apostle Paul puts it, with boldness. Do you speak with boldness towards the God of love? Do you speak with boldness with the God who created you, who placed you in the womb in the beginning of your life, and who gave to you at the beginning of your life the recognition of a call? So that when the call was made, you would respond. And you knew from the time you were born, from the time you were a child, that God was on his throne and God was calling you. Have you responded to that call? Have you responded to that, here am I, Lord, speak to me? There is a beautiful little hymn. Speak, Lord, in the stillness whilst we wait on thee, and hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. Listen to those words. Hush. Be quiet. Listen to God. How will I listen to God unless I read his word? How will I know what he says unless I read what he said in the past and what he has pronounced to be the future? How will I understand anything that is God's? I will understand it because he is the Lord God Almighty. I will understand him because he loves me with an everlasting love. I will come to him just as I am, without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me, that he bids me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. There is the way, there is the truth. and there is the life. So we have all these introductions to the living God through our lives, and we have all these blessings of his presence with us, no matter who we are and what we've done, no matter what we're doing even. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us. He is always with us. Isn't that wonderful? You see, God is so concerned with people like you and I that he comes to us and he speaks to us and he speaks with us. Now, some people say, God said this to me. You have to be careful of those people, because what is spoken by God to a person is so personal as a rule that it's not for the exhibition or the replay to be played out in front of the public. God speaks to us. He does. I was reading Joshua. I was reading about David, King David. And I was reading about some of the old prophets and how remarkable it was. God just took them aside and breathed into them his word. Listen to him speaking to his disciples. They were terribly upset. Why, they said, they've taken John Baptist and they've struck off his head. And they were upset. And Jesus said, come with me. Come to a place and rest a while. And when he had taken them to that place, he went on a little further and spent time with God himself. And he spoke to his Father in heaven himself. Paul says, with boldness I come, and with boldness I dare speak to the Creator of the ends of the earth, the Almighty. With boldness I speak with God. And I don't believe the boldness that we're hearing from some of the pulpits of today is boldness, but sheer arrogance or wishful thinking. It's a sort of scale between wishful thinking and shocking arrogance. Be careful, be careful. Because it's nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's it. And that's the one link we have. Jesus was crucified, and the bearing away, the taking away, the dealing with the wickedness of my heart and the wrongness of my soul. Wash me that I shall be clean. White as snow, cries the psalmist. That's what I want. Oh, God, let me be clean, that I may speak with you in your holiness. Why, he preempted, really, the expression that Jesus used. The apostle followed up years later and said to the people, when Jesus said it, it was very powerful. Be holy as I am holy. Wash me, wash me. There is no washing that is complete except in the blood of Jesus. There is no washing that is so terrific except in the blood that was shed at Calvary. Wash me that I may be white as snow. There is no way that I can manufacture that on my own. I can't even imagine putting myself in that place of being in that condition. And yet that is the condition that God calls us to be living at this moment. Clean, washed in the blood. Oh, you say that's old-fashioned preaching. I know. But you see, it's an old-fashioned gospel. And you see, it's the original word of God. And it comes from God who made all things holy. And it comes from the God who gave us all things. And it comes from the God who loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for us that we might live, that we might live eternally, and that we may give God the glory and God the praise, that we may stand in his presence, knowing that his presence is pure. So we simply come to you with these precious words, glimpses of truth. Let me share these glimpses of truth with you, because when you put them all together, they amalgamate into a beautiful scene. If I was an artist rare, I might be able to capture some of the beauty of this. But Jesus stood and he said, I am the way. Now, when we pray this, Our Father, who art in heaven, holy, reverenced be thy name. You know, you sit in a doctor's office and everybody whispers. I don't know why we whisper, but we do. If we were before the king or queen of a country or the president of our own country, whether we would vote for him or not, he is the president, and so because of his office, we would hush. We would not speak carelessly. We would speak very carefully. We would ask our questions, not in cunning words, but in well-thought-through, couched expressions. We would say what is in our minds. You see, God would have us do the same. Father, Father, there is no point, to be truthful, in me talking to God unless I am talking to my Father. I come in the name of Jesus because he opened a new and living way for me. I come in that name because it's in the beautiful name of Jesus that God sees me as purified and sanctified and usable. And so he listens to me with great patience and long suffering. He listens to me. How wonderful is our Lord! How gracious is our God! How remarkable is his presence! As we come to a close now, I want to share with you, men ought always to pray and not faint. Why do I get overwhelmed by the circumstances in which I live? That's what causes me to faint, because those circumstances perhaps are not simply dripping with the presence of the Lord. They're not washed in his blood. They're not of his spirit. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that God has given us a new way to live, and all the little pieces of the rest of our lives are washed in his blood. All the difficult ends that come our way are washed in his presence. God has given us this new living way. We ought not to faint. There's no need to go fainting. But the problem seriously is this, that we want people to know what we're thinking, and we want to sound spiritual, and we want to be bloated, and we want to be enjoyed as people who are super spiritual creatures. And so we steal, we trespass, we take from God, but we forget that he says, I will share my glory with no other. He does not share his glory. His glory is in those whose glory it can be shared. His glory, his presence, his beauty, his holiness is all in those that he can trust. Men ought always to be praying and not philosophizing. We spend a lot of time in the news broadcasts and the commentaries we hear on television and radio about the future. And you know, I have to laugh sometimes at the silliness of what the people are saying, because the whole future of this world, this planet on Earth, the whole future is in the hand of God. And if we would have it released and the power of God revealed, men ought always to pray. If we would live a peaceable life before men and women, men ought always to be praying. You and I should be in prayer, and we should pray most earnestly that God will reveal His glory in His own time. Now it is this time that I say to you, let's pray together. And I'm going to ask you to join me now in praying. Lord Jesus Christ, our country is in need of prayer. But before that, all of us as individuals need to learn to pray. And we need to learn what it is to cast our crowns before you, that we may be lost in adoration, worship, and praise. And so we come asking you, dear Lord, that you will work in our families and our own hearts, that you will wash us afresh and cause us to know afresh that you've never altered, you've never changed, you have a plan and you are working it out. It is working in front of us. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Soon let us see you face to face, for we do love you, and we cast ourselves before you in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.